So we finally did it. The United States of America, after much ado, finally decided who will lead us these next few years. And when I say finally, I mean after 21 months of campaigning, debate, analysis, advertisements, and of course, which seems something that seems more and more critical, fundraising, we have come to a decisive conclusion. Mr. Barack Obama will be our next president. Don't worry though, I am not, definitely not up here to give any analysis. I think you've had plenty of that. I think we've had plenty of opportunity to get our fill these last 21 months. What is amazing though is how much time and effort went into this last election. Just think about it. Think how many people dedicated their lives on TV, radio, on the web to analyzing these politicians. All those people that they employed, all the people that the politicians employed to raise over $1.6 billion, and I think they spent at least $1.3 billion of that. And then think about all the time that the rest of us in America and around the world spent watching the news and studying up on this, on these politicians. It's mind-boggling to think of how many man-hours went into judging and examining between just a few candidates. If there's any mathematicians out there that could throw out a number, I tried. It's really not that easy. It's way more factors in it than you would think. I know people always, they can give their estimate of how many people came out of Egypt in the Exodus, but this is just a tad bit more complicated, I think. Let me know after church if you've come up with a good number. But isn't there something better that we could do with our time? Well, one thing's for sure. I'm sure glad that I'm not like any of those politicians or media personalities with their dishonest, cheating ways. They just want to mass our taxes for their own interests. I, on the other hand, keep the Sabbath, fast twice a week, tithe of all I possess. Who am I? First one to guess gets extra juice after. Of course, you guys know, I'm talking about the Pharisee that Jesus described in Luke 18:11. Jesus juxtaposed the attitude of the Pharisee who was in principle doing the right thing, but had the wrong attitude in regard to others and his relationship to God, with a tax collector who humbly appeared before the temple laying out his sins before God. I use this reference from the scriptures to illustrate how easily we can slip into judgment of others, especially when we tie the example to our culture today. Being critical of others and protective or even proud of our own set of values is so common. I think that kind of thinking is extremely dangerous to our Christian walk. The critical mindset that is so prevalent that we must be extra careful that we put extra effort into examining ourselves. And that brings me to what I really want to spotlight today. And that is why you need to focus and spend your time more than ever on making sure you educate yourself on the issue most important to our personal salvation, yourself. Now that may not sound right, but if you think about it, you'll understand what I mean. Christianity is primarily a solo pursuit in that each of us will give account of him for himself or herself to God. Let's dive into the Bible to gain some insight on this topic. It's recorded in the Gospels that Jesus on more than one occasion addressed this issue. You're probably quite familiar with when Christ related our proclivity to be imbalanced judges by explaining that we'd rather point out a minuscule speck in our brother's eye. Speaking of which, I want to welcome my brother from Tacoma and his wife. I think a little speck. Your eye looked kind of red today. I'm just sorry. And then we walk around with a plank in our own eye. That's Matthew 7:1. But Paul on more than one occasion also addressed the issue, encouraging each person to examine himself. Let's read and turn to Galatians 6, 3 through 5. Galatians 6, 3 through 5. Galatians 6, 3. For if anyone thinks himself to be something when he is nothing, he deceives himself. But let each one examine his own work, and then he will have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For each one shall bear his own load. And this passage brings up many points, but one that I would like to highlight is that self-examination can be a joyful experience. As long as we keep the right attitude, we can be joyful for the fact that God is working with us and giving us the ability to overcome. Paul makes another good point into understanding God's perspective in this next passage. So if you'll turn to 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. 1 Corinthians 4, verse 7. For who makes you differ from another? What do you have that you did not receive? Now, if you did indeed receive it, why do you glory as if you had not received it? Kind of answering our own question, Paul set up that question for us. And this kind of touches on what was pointed out in the last passage as well, and that God has given us everything. We couldn't have even gotten to the point where we're able to do what is right without him. God works with us each individually, and then will judge each of us individually. And for us to somehow glory in the fact that we are not like someone else is completely irrelevant and useless if we take on God's perspective. Now, turn with me to one more passage, 2 Corinthians 13, 2 Corinthians 13, 5 through 6. It says, examine yourselves as to whether you are in the faith. Prove yourselves. Do you not know yourself that Jesus Christ is in you? Unless indeed you are disqualified, I trust that you will know that we are not disqualified. It's only through God's Spirit and Word in us that we can truly examine ourselves. This passage points out that as an active pursuit, Paul admonishes us to prove ourselves. Or yourselves, of which can be only accomplished through an active pursuit using God's Spirit and Word. Brethren, let's not push off the task until just before Passover, and that is the next holy day. Let's make it an integral part of our lives. Spend that time in meditation and prayer so that you can think about what you understand from God's Word and His Spirit, that He shows you through His Spirit. And write that stuff down and don't forget it. We have to fight the common mentality of today. We have to be disciplined, bringing every thought into captivity. In the end times, it is said that men will be lovers of themselves, 2 Timothy 3, 1 through 5. And the Bible also reveals in Revelation, talking about the church in Laodicea, that they will not know that they're wretched, miserable, poor, blind, and naked. Now, if that's not a bad case of not examining oneself, I don't know what is. I mean, we won't even realize that we're blind or naked. This is, of course, is spiritually speaking, but it is so true. Satan is doing his best to trick us into wasting all of our time judging and examining everyone else, everyone and everything but ourselves. But he's doing a great job considering there is no one else we spend more time with than ourselves. Let me know if you disagree. We can be thankful that we have God's Spirit to make this impossible task possible. God has given a portion of His Spirit so that we can examine and judge ourselves, overcoming our own weaknesses. I urge you to spend as much time as possible focusing on educating yourself about the most important issue regarding our salvation, and that, of course, is ourselves. I've heard it said, and it kind of fits pretty well, that God planned first for us to practice judging ourselves before He put us in a position in His family over anyone else. So this is our practice run. I can't wait to see you there when God determines that we're ready. Thank you.